What's up? This is Bloody Bill, aka Billy Pond, aka Notorious P.I.G. out here in Way Waste, Texas. I'm the director, writer of such classics as Dollboy, Circus of the Dead, Mr. Fister, and Two Guys in One Cup. And you're listening to 30 Screams or Less podcast. Come get you some.
Warning. 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be talking about is Strange Darling. It's written and directed by J.T. Molnar, starring Willa Fitzgerald as the lady and Kyle Gallner as the demon. Plot of this movie is, nothing is what it seems when a twisted one-night stand spirals into a serial killer's vicious murder spree. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil. And dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you got to look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Strange Darling?
Steve, I thought I was going to hate this because we've talked about this several times before, but chapters and films typically suck. And that's the first thing you see when this movie starts.
First thing I noticed, I was like, oh God, here we go.
Yep. Honestly, this was done so incredibly well, and it does a nice job around hopping around several different timelines without losing the viewer in the process. Like, we start at chapter 3 or 4, whatever. We don't start at 1. We're hopping around the whole movie. And I didn't get lost once. I was glued to it the whole time, and I can't wait to hear what you think.
So I think that's the beauty behind this movie, of jumping ahead and back and stuff. The great thing is, yes, so it starts from 3, then it goes to 5, and then eventually we work our way back. Now, 3 is literally just the lady running and the demon is after her. The lady's driving a car. The demon's chasing her in a truck. And she flips her car. You see her running. And this is kind of like the title screen. The very beginning, though, is the girl asking the guy if he's a serial killer. And in the next scene, you see him strangling her without a shirt on. I'm like, okay, I can fuck with this because we're talking serial killer.
Dude, that line was straight out of Dexter, too.
It was fucking awesome, man.
Yep. Do you remember when that was... Did you watch Dexter?
Oh, of course.
Do you remember when Deb said that to him towards the later seasons?
Yep.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if they paid homage to it with this movie, but that was a pretty cool, maybe unintentional Easter egg.
Yeah, they might have. I was kind of wondering if this movie was inspired by any real serial killers, but I couldn't find anything. I read that the director was alluding to it, but never really gave a straight answer. It's like, oh, it could be, you know, that kind of deal.
Yeah.
Now where everyone's trying to form their own opinions and thinking about, is it maybe based after Eileen Wuornos? I can never really pronounce her last name right, but she's the prostitute that would kill men. Mm-hmm. And she just started liking it and continued on with it. And Charlize Theron played her in a biopic. So I'm thinking, is this maybe after that? I'm jumping a little ahead. Here's where I think the beauty is of this movie, is that we start in chapter 3. All that insanity is happening. So right away, you're sympathizing with the woman, the lady, and she's running from this guy. He's got a fucking rifle. He's trying to take her out, all this stuff. She finds a hobo tent with some alcohol and stuff, pouring it on her ear because her ear looks like it's fucking shot off or bit off or something. She's got blood pouring down her, like, side of her face.
Mm-hmm. The bandage. And, kind of reminded me of Cuckoo.
Yeah, exactly. Reminded me of a Cuckoo as well. And so we see her running through the woods. I mean, we've seen this whole scene before. a clear serial killer scene, chasing his victim, that type deal. So we feel like this is on par with a lot of serial killer movies. So I'm like, okay, cool. We got a banger of an opening. But then she runs off and finds this little house and she goes inside. Then we jump forward to chapter 5 and see the destruction inside the house. Now, this is where I'm thinking, okay, this serial killer is clearly causing more shit. So at this point, Corey, we're under this impression that the serial killer is the man. I mean, it looks clear as day.
That's how they bill it.
That's how they bill it. It's exactly how they bill it. Clear as day, the man is going after the girl. He's trying to kill her. There's a dead person in the house. The girl is hiding. The lady's hiding. And he's just kind of walking around and he's shooting trunks in the house. Trunks at the end of the bed. They're called something, but I'm just going to call them trunks. So he's shooting the trunks. He's thinking that she's hiding in them. But he eventually finds her in an unplugged freezer in the kitchen. And then this is when we start jumping back now. And we start jumping back to the beginning where he's on a date with that girl. At this point, we still think that he's a serial killer and he's setting this whole thing up. But Corey, I want to hear your thoughts on how we're jumping from 5 to 1 now. What were you feeling when you're watching 1? Were you under this impression like, okay, he's still the serial killer?
Oh, yeah, because he's following this girl through the woods and he's got a rifle.
Yeah.
And she finds this house in the woods there and she meets these, well, I'm assuming husband and wife who called themselves hippies. You know, she says she's being chased by someone and can you guys let me in so I can be safe? Mm-hmm. And then we skip forward again and we see the husband or whatever. He's just, his brains are blown out all over the kitchen floor. But I wanted to say something. So one of my favorite things about this movie was the intro with the text crawl, similar to Star Wars. Did you get a vibe from the voice that it was the same guy that did the narration for the OG Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Because I did.
Yeah, a little bit.
Now, while you were talking, I did find a funny fact that I'm going to read. So John Larroquette was the guy that voiced that narrator in the original 1974 film.
Really?
He did not get paid. They did not pay him money for that role. Do you know what they paid him in?
What?
Weed.
What a fucking man.
Dude took weed to voice that.
What a fucking score that is. Like, can you just voice the beginning of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre? So, and we'll pay you in weed. He's like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. Why not? And then it's like legendary. So he's probably kicking himself a little bit. I hope he got some really good weed and none of that skunk weed shit.
Dude, it was 1974. I'm sure it's shit.
It's not like the fancy bougie weed that we have now. The weed we have now is really fucking over the top, man.
The weed back then probably tasted like a dusty attic.
I'd say so.
But he got it for free. And now he voiced one of the most legendary characters in horror film franchise history.
Yeah, no shit. I don't know why. I think I remember hearing it, but it just doesn't stick at the back of my mind. But as you bring it up, I'm like, oh yeah, that's fucking right. I think I did read that before. It's such a cool story. Just to be in such an iconic movie and not even getting really any credit. Just smoking weed. That's what you got out of that. So whatever. But I kind of got that impression with the scrolling of like talking about like a serial killer. And this is about the story of the rampage that happened.
Yeah. The voice sounded exactly like John from that original movie. And it wasn't at all.
You know what I noticed that was interesting about this movie? I was looking at the cast and Giovanni Ribisi is one of the voices in it.
Mm-hmm.
What voice was he?
He's listed his voice from obviously in the IMDb, but I was scrolling down a little further. Primarily known for his acting roles, this film marks Giovanni Ribisi's debut as a feature film cinematographer.
Really?
So I don't know if he actually voiced a character because the only, you know, voice I heard other than the characters we see on screen were that narrator from the beginning. And I'm pretty sure that was this Robert Craighead guy.
Yeah. So there's a narrator from the beginning. And I was thinking that it might be the radio station that's playing outside the hippie house.
Oh, it could be. Yeah.
So maybe he's one of the people on the radio and he's talking with another person, but I couldn't tell it was him. But I also wasn't focusing on like the two people talking on the radio. You know, I was focusing on what's happening, which is lady going into the house and like asking for help. And I'm looking at this house, man, and immediately I was getting Texas Chainsaw Massacre vibes.
Oh, yeah. It looked like the family's house.
Yeah, it looked very like the family's house, very backwoods, very isolated, that type deal. And when you have like the fucking speakers around like that, you're thinking there's going to be some sort of crazy family happening. But really, it was just two older people who make a weird ass breakfast on Sunday.
Jesus Christ, man. That guy should have had some eggs with his butter.
Oh, my God. He had a whole stick of butter that he put into a pan and made eggs with it. That is just straight up, like, I know you can deep fry eggs, that's fine. That just seems like a cholesterol overkill.
and then he mixes pancakes, is swimming in maple syrup.
Yeah, and then whatever that was, like the marmalade, I don't know. It was just like there was so much fucking liquid.
half a jar on marmalade on each of the pancakes.
Yeah, and then they had, like, obviously bacon. I think there was sausage. And they end up putting whipped cream on it as well. And then they stack on a little fruit on top. It's like, yeah, that'll balance it out.
That single strawberry on the top made it real healthy.
Oh, for sure. So they're trying to enjoy their breakfast. And that's when they decide to play the Scott Baio puzzle game, I guess. And that's when Lady rolls up. Corey, what would you do in this situation? You see a girl who's got like bleeding from the ear like that and she's freaking out. Would you let her in?
I probably would, honestly, because I don't think she did it to herself.
Yeah, but I mean, she didn't do it to herself, but there's a fucking good reason to not let this one in.
Yeah, but that's they don't know that. I thought she was doing all this shit to herself, honestly.
Really?
Because later on in the movie, we find out what actually happens, right?
Right. And like, it is nuts, man. It flips the script.
So it flips the script, but later on in the movie, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. But
We already jumped back and forth with the chapters. We might as well jump too.
Yeah. So later on in the movie, when the police find her after she crawls out of the ice chest after she shoots Demon,
mm-hmm.
The police show up and she pulls her pants down before the police come in the room.
Yep.
She made it look like she got assaulted. So they thought she was the victim.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so that made me think back. I'm like, I mean, we see her get shot in the ear, but all the other stuff that happened to her. Like, maybe she did it to herself kind of thing. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Now, I'm going to say something and try not to sound sexist about it, but I feel like a lot of these situations, there are girls that they can claim they were sexually abused and all this stuff. And a lot of times, I wouldn't say most of the time, there's a select amount of times where it doesn't happen. And the guy gets in trouble anyway. So the guy is seen as the antagonist, regardless.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that unfortunately, those things happen. I mean, it comes with it, unfortunately. But that's kind of the mentality I had seeing all of this. And Joanne even saw this part. She was sitting on the couch watching it with me. And she's like, she's going to make herself look like the victim here. And that's exactly what she did, because I thought she was going to get away with the whole thing.
I thought so too, man. Like, in my notes, I'm like, holy shit, is she going to get away with this? And I was like, wow, because she's really fucking everything up. She just cleared everyone out.
Yeah.
Like, everyone got real fucked up.
And like, I go back to that scene and like, whatever chapter it was when her and Demon were in the hotel room and she was on top of him.
Yep.
And this is the part where she starts torturing him. And this dude. Part made me fucking cringe, dude.
Oh, my God.
Because the camera kind of picture this. So she's sitting on this dude's chest and the camera is behind her head. Like, all you see is her back. But you mm-hmm. can hear the guy like screaming and you can hear these carving noises.
Yeah.
And we later find out that she is because she carves EL into this guy's chest with a knife.
Fuck, dude. I didn't even put two and two together. Yeah. I don't know why. I'm thinking like her first name starts on an E, her last name starts on an L. Electric Lady.
Yeah.
Jeez.
You just get that?
I just got that now. I don't know why I didn't pick it up.
I'm glad I can enlighten you.
Yeah, thanks for enlightening me. Dude, this scene, like, we're going back to, let's say, I think chapter one. This is where they're doing all the sexual stuff. So they're in the car. She asks if he's a serial killer. The way he responds, it makes it seem like, no, he's not a serial killer. But then when they get into the hotel room, we go back to that scene where he's choking her. And it turns out she's into some real fucked up stuff. This is consensual.
Yeah. And she tells him essentially that no means yes. And then they mm-hmm. come up with a safe word. And the safe word made me laugh.
Yeah. It was like, what was it again? Was it like Rumpelstiltskin something or whatever?
Mr. Snuffleupagus.
There it is, Mr. Snuffleupagus.
So Mr. Snuffleupagus is the only thing you're allowed to say to make whatever's happening stop.
Yeah. Yeah. And this girl, man, she was wild because she would do that shit And it's kind of crazy because he started going a little harder because it seemed like, you know, what the no means yes for her. And the only safe word is like, safe word is no, that's it. We're done. So he was starting to escalate and he was starting to get crazier. And you're still thinking that he's the serial killer. But then there's instances where you're like, okay, I'm not buying it. Because the way he's acting, like if he was a true sadist serial killer, he would have just kept going. He wouldn't have stopped. So as soon as she said, Mr. Snuffleupagus, he stopped. Serial killers wouldn't do that. Unless they were like falling in love for some reason. Now, that's happened before. I mean, Ted Bundy even had a serious girlfriend. I mean, they all have some sort of wife or a serious girlfriend. So it's not out of the ordinary for a serial killer to be in a relationship with someone. So I'm thinking, all right, maybe they're falling in love in a weird fucking way and they're both just twisted. And I was also thinking that maybe they're both doing this craziness. Like maybe it's a sex thing where they hunt people down, because I wasn't putting the two together that that was the same lady that was being chased later on in the film, because she was wearing all sorts of different clothes. The hair color looked different and everything. I didn't think it was the same person.
Her hair color changed like 3 times throughout the movie, I think, right?
Yeah, well, there was the lighting, which didn't make it seem like she had blonde hair. It made it look like she was a brunette. So I'm thinking, is he spending time with a brunette who then put on a wig and they're fucking around and they're psychotic? And I didn't know if maybe later it was going to escalate into something like a deadly 3-way deal. You know, they're like, maybe we should fucking hunt someone down and kill them and have sex with them. I don't know. My brain is fucked up. I think weird. So that's kind of what I was thinking, too. There's a lot of scenarios that are running through my head, man, watching this movie.
Yeah. And then there's that one scene where she gives him the bag of what we thought was cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ends up doing it and then starts tweaking out. We're like, wow, they're just, you know, trying to have a good time at this hotel room. No, she made him snort a whole bag of ketamine.
Dude, crazy.
Yeah.
But like, I want to take a little step back, like a scene before. So they stop doing sex and then he's like getting to this point where it's like, all right, what the fuck do you want? Because she keeps like stopping and going. It's like she's fucking with him. And then she's like, do you party? And that's when she breaks out the cocaine and part of it's ketamine for him. So they start trying to do stuff again and she just cuts him off and he's like, all right, this is fucking ridiculous. I'm done. So he throws his clothes on. She goes to the bathroom. He walks out. And that's what we think is happening, is that he's just fucking gone. And who knows? Maybe he ends up hunting her later on. But then we see him on the ground because, okay, you know what? I'm going to take another step back. She's in the bathroom. She pulls out a knife and a stun gun. I'm like, oh, fuck.
This is getting real weird now.
This is getting really weird. Is, like, this is going to even escalate more sexually? Or are we seeing, a prelude to her actually being the killer? Still don't know. But we go outside, and he's crawling, and he's got foaming from the mouth, all this stuff from the ketamine. She drags him back in. And now we're getting to that point where she's sitting on his chest carving the EL. And I think at that point, we start hopping forward.
Well, she carves him up, and then she starts hitting him with the stun gun.
Yeah. Oh, God.
It wasn't brutal. Bad enough. This dude just got his chest carved up. She starts using a stun gun on him while he's tied up.
Fucking gnarly, man. Absolutely gnarly. But, okay, so now after that, we jump to the scene where we find out that she beat the hippie husband to death with a phone because they were going to call the cops, and she said, no cops. And as soon as I heard no cops, I'm like, oh, okay, something's fucking going down. And she beat the shit out of him. Now I'm like, okay, is she the killer? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, it's this is definitely like, what do you say? Like a lesson in misdirection.
That's what I said. I said at the end of my notes, a masterclass in misdirection.
Masterclass, this movie, yeah.
Yeah, a masterclass in misdirection. This movie is essentially a magic trick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for an hour and a half time, it's just, if you're seeing it for the first time, you can't even predict what's going to happen because they're just hopping between these chapters. And maybe, I think that's why the director might have done it, because you can't put anything together in this movie.
No.
You don't have these people out there who can predict the end of a movie. There's no shot you can do that in this. No shot,
because they really convey that the man is the serial killer. They really make it look that way. And it turns out Electric Lady is the same girl. She's the serial killer, and she's running away from the demon who's actually a cop.
Which she finds out later after she kills him.
Yeah, she finds out after she kills him that he's a cop. She like opens up his wallet and is like, oh, fuck, you know, because he made a call to his police friends to come by. So we start seeing all this insanity. The reason why her ear was fucking blown off, man, is because somehow in that ketamine stupor, the demon cop, he manages to take his gun out before she's about to clearly stab him, shoots her in the ear, and then she runs off basically half nude. And because I don't want to sound like I'm being sexist, but because she's like a woman, a lot of people are more apt to be, oh, what happened? What's wrong? What, like, are you okay? Very sympathetic to her. And I think that's the beauty of her being a serial killer, is that people are going to assume that she's not a killer and that she's just a normal girl who's in distress, that type deal. It's like a wolf in sheepskin. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
That's exactly what it is. She's a wolf in sheepskin, and she's conveying that approach of damsel in distress, and that she's weak, and that someone's always after her, and all this stuff. And she runs off into the hotel's lobby or whatever. It's a motel. It's more of a motel, where like you check in and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
She runs in there, and she's obviously bleeding from the ear, half naked. She's like, I need a car. I need to get the hell out of here. And the lady's like, I'm going to call the cops. No cops. Stabs the lady in the throat. I didn't see that coming.
No, no, that was just a quick little poke with that knife she had earlier.
Yep. Quick little poke. Stabs her in the throat. Blood everywhere. And then there's this other girl who's wearing the schmuck like that a nurse would wear.
Yeah.
And that's what we see her running in later on. So she's wearing the schmuck and she clearly lets her go. And I don't know what her deal was, because it seemed like she let the ladies go for the most part, but others obviously were just in her fucking path and she had to get rid of them. They were an inconvenience to her.
Mm-hmm.
So
she's like Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes people just get away and they don't get killed. Like the people in New York when Jason Voorhees was walking down the street, all of them were fine except for the people he was actually after.
Yeah, it's pretty much any of those Hollywood monsters. Like Michael Myers the same way. He's looking for Laurie Strode, the whole franchise, but killing anyone in his way.
Exactly.
These are just humans and she's just doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, man. And then this is when we start jumping to chapter 6, where now we know that the guy isn't the serial killer. He's actually hunting her to try to, I guess, stop her, because clearly she's insane. It's the electric lady. She's a serial killer. We don't have a full backstory yet, though. I would have loved to hear more of a backstory on that.
You know what? I'm kind of hoping that this ends up turning into like a Maxine type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we get several.
That would be cool, man.
Because see, we started with that whole trilogy with X. We never knew how she got to that point.
Oh, that would be fun. So like a prequel to this?
Yeah, so X, right? So X was the, you know, with Maxine living in the house, killing people. And then Pearl was how she became Maxine.
Yep.
And then obviously Maxine was her on the rampage.
Yeah.
So, a prequel to this would be cool. I'd love to see how the Electric Lady came to be.
Yeah, she is a cool character. I honestly don't think it's going to happen. From what I was reading, it only made $4 million. And it's a fucking shame that this movie didn't do better.
Was it in theaters?
I think it was briefly in theaters.
Didn't we see the trailer for this when we saw Terrifier 3?
Pretty sure. Yeah.
Or one of those movies we saw, we definitely saw the trailer for this. They showed it and both of us were like, fuck, that looks awesome.
Well, this came out in 2023. What did we see in 2023?
It had to have been Terrifier, the re-release of Terrifier 2.
Oh, maybe. I didn't see that then. You saw it.
Maybe it was Winnie the Pooh then? I don't know. I know I saw this trailer in theaters in one of those movies we went to.
Yeah, Long Legs? Feel like I remember this. Like, we were at the theaters. I feel like I remember seeing this as a trailer. Like, now that I'm thinking about it, like, you and I have only been to a few movies. And if we're both remembering it, it probably was there. So this movie, I think it kind of had the whole menu deal. You know, well, the menu, they didn't really know how to market it, so it didn't do well.
Yeah.
And then when it went on streaming on Max, it fucking blew up the internet. People were talking about it like crazy. And I don't think it was given a fair chance. And not to mention, it's not on any streaming services at the moment where you don't have to pay for it. Like, you don't have to rent it. I bet if they put it up on some sort of streaming service, it would probably blow up.
Yeah, probably. So speaking of movies that are, I just bring this point up here. So speaking of movies that are told, the story is told out of order. Have you ever heard of the movie Irreversible?
I've heard of it, yes.
So I've seen it, you know, it came out a while ago. I watched it when it came out. But basically, the movie starts from the end credits, and it plays backwards.
Nice. So similar to Memento.
Similar to Memento, similar to this. But I'm wondering if there's a cop, because Irreversible, I think it's either Screambox or Shudder. They just released a new version of it, a remixed version that starts from the beginning and goes to the end.
Huh.
So I'm wondering if there's a copy, maybe out there, there's a version of Strange Darling that's told in order.
Yeah. Would you watch it?
I would watch it, having known how it all ends now, but I don't know if I would want to watch it. You know, I would want to see that version of it first.
Right. See,
it's basically Star Wars, you know, you don't watch them in the order they came out.
Exactly. You watch them in the order they're intended.
Right.
So, I mean, I would watch it. I would check it out, but I don't think it would have the same allure as this one does.
You're right.
Because with the jumping between chapters, that's the misdirection that's happening. And we just constantly are thinking the man is the serial killer the whole time. He's the demon, but no. She's technically the demon, and she's the electric lady. She's the serial killer. So we get back to that scene now where he hunts her down. He shoots the freezer. He shoots the freezer that she's hanging out in, hiding from him. And then he ends up handcuffing her. And now we're like, oh, good. He fucking got her. He goes and makes a phone call, and his police pals are on the way to help out. And we think she's fucking done for at this point. That shit's over. She's captured. And that's it. Thinking that's going to be the end of the movie. No. He gets sprayed in the face with beer repellent. Bear repellent. Yeah.
Beer repellent. That sucks.
Bear repellent. Yeah. Bear repellent. That sucks. No, bear repellent. So he gets shot in the face with bear repellent. He gets blinded. She fucking bites his neck like she's a zombie and just rips. And this is when the demon dies. It's so weird. I don't want to call him a demon.
I don't either, and I don't think they ever actually called him that in the movie, but that's how he's credited.
Yes.
As the demon, and she was Lady.
Yep, exactly. And then we find out she's not Lady, she's Electric Lady.
But this scene with, now I can't remember their names, Lady and Demon. So the scene with them when Lady's chained up to the freezer and Demon's standing in front of her, I loved it because they just stood there and they were just berating each other for like 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's what they were just... between berating each other and they were just outsmarting each other the whole film, like expertly done,
and a solid cat and mouse game between the two of them. You know, she's sitting there like, looks like you caught me, that type deal, and then she's just talking about all sorts of shit. I can't remember specifically what she was going into detail on because there was one little portion I didn't hear, and I think it's just the way she said it, and I just didn't hear it correctly, but she was just going off on these tangents, and I think she was doing her own misdirection to try to lure him in to spray him with the fucking bear repellent, only to bite his neck. But we were thinking the whole time, or I was thinking at least, that he had her and that was it. And as soon as she bit his neck, I'm like, fuck, she's going to get away with this. I was like, damn, man, this is fucking crazy. Really good. Really well with just keeping me on my toes.
And that closing scene there, when you have that song Love Hurts playing and her singing it, so good.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. She was singing that in the hotel room as well when he was all chained up, basically, and he had like a sock in his mouth.
Yep, and they brought it back at the end.
Yeah.
And then you think she's getting away.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Because the cops, and I don't know why, man. Why didn't they frisk her?
She's just fine. She's got a gun in her sock.
Yeah. The male cop. So there's like the male cop and the female cop. And the female cop is like, she's injured. We have to help her and all this stuff. The seasoned male cop is like, we don't even know if she's the killer or not.
Yeah. He's using his brain about this one.
Yeah. He's using his brain, which coincidentally gets sprayed all over the front of a windshield later on. So he's using his brains, and the female cop is like, no, we have to help her. Our first job is serve and protect. And it's like, okay, we'll move her. We'll get her out of here. And they should have checked her, man, because she had a gun. And you know what we didn't mention? And this is important because the hippie lady, she ran off. After she was going to bring Electric Lady or Lady to like this woodshed where I think there was chains in there. She was going to get chained up. She ran off. Lady was like, ah, fucking whatever. So it's important we bring that up because she's in the back seat of the cop car, which doesn't have any divider or anything, which I found interesting.
Yeah, but this is also, what, the 80s, 90s, early 90s?
Yeah, maybe. Something like that.
I don't know if they had those then yet.
Probably not. So she's in the back seat of the car. The lady cop's like, don't worry, everything will be okay. And as they're driving, they see the hippie lady trying to wave them down. And she looks in the back seat and sees lady, ghost white, bullet to the head. And then she points it to the cops like, fucking drive.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome because she was in the back seat and she just aims through the crack in the window in the cop's car and shoots the hippie lady in the forehead.
Yeah, exactly. And she says to the lady cop to get out. Again, we're trying to figure out what the hell her MO is because she lets some people go and kills others. So whether she's like a demon and she sees things or like sees certain hallucinations or whatever, maybe that's it. Did you ever see Natural Born Killers with Woody Harrelson and Juliette Lewis?
I've seen it. It's been a long time.
Okay. So I'll just refer to a scene in that. So Mick and Mallory are hanging out with an Indian. And the Indian is telling a story, and they're actually just having a pretty decent time. And then Mickey sees a demon within the Indian and shoots him. And obviously he regretted that in the movie and everything like that. Now, I'm almost thinking, is that the kind of same deal here? That she thought she saw a demon within that cop and blew his brains out after they were stopped later on? Because you saw some sort of flash happen, like a red flash, and then the gunshot. That's what I noticed. I didn't know if you picked up on that.
No, I didn't, actually.
You didn't?
No. Okay.
Again, a lot of stuff in this movie that easy to overlook. Shit, I missed the overlooking of EL on the chest. Like, I knew it said EL, but I didn't know if it was, like, her name because they never discussed names.
Well, yeah, and I mean, at the time, you're kind of trying to figure out what her name might be because this is before we knew of the Electric Lady.
Exactly.
And you kind of have to, I don't know why, my memory is shit, so I don't know why I remembered that EL she carved into the chest was most likely Electric Lady.
Yeah, good call on that. My memory's not all that great, but I know my memory's really good when it comes to taking notes after a movie.
It is good.
Thanks. So she blows the cop's brains away, just all over the windshield. She gets out, and she starts walking down the street, and she sees a car coming. Now she's, again, playing the damsel in distress. And this lady shows up. I'm thinking like, oh, she's going to fucking shoot her and take the vehicle and she's going to get away with this. But instead, the lady helps her get in the vehicle and sits her in the passenger seat and starts driving off to go to like the hospital, right? And lady pulls a gun and is pointing it at the person that picked her up. I'm going to say Electric Lady at this point because now we need to like differentiate. Electric Lady gets shot by the other lady that's trying to drive her to the hospital. So the lady takes Electric Lady's gun, and then you just see the like kind of the fade to black and white, which was very cool at the beginning. I thought the movie was going to honestly be in black and white. I wasn't sure. But yeah, we start seeing it fade to that black and white color, and then it eventually end scene fade to black. We don't know if she dies or anything.
I don't know.
We just know she's like passed out pretty much in the passenger seat.
This scene with her essentially bleeding out was so long.
It was,
and it
man.
Was powerful because it was just Electric Lady sitting in the passenger seat of this truck suffering because she's been fucked up through this whole movie.
Oh, man. Yeah, she's real messed up, kind of like Cuckoo.
Yeah.
Like, just damage all over the place.
Yeah, and now she's literally just sitting in the front seat of this truck, essentially bleeding out on the seat. And I swear this was like 10 or 15 minutes. I'm probably exaggerating, but it felt like it because the camera's just looking at her suffering.
Yeah, you can see her just grimacing and shaking a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, man, that is well acted.
Yeah.
To just be like just a single shot camera on her the whole time, because that's a one shot deal.
Oh, yeah,
there's
absolutely.
No editing. Yeah, there's no editing on that. That's one shot. So just you see her that whole span of time just acting out pure pain from the bullet wound to the stomach. And I just thought that was this such amazing acting.
Mm-hmm.
Just on that part alone. But overall, the whole entire movie, well acted from everyone involved. No one seemed like they didn't fit. Everyone seemed like they needed to be in that movie and they played the fucking parts to like the best of their ability. And I thought it was great. I thought it was absolutely great. But yeah, that scene was powerful. So I would love to know like if she ended up going to the hospital, they fucking patch her up and then she goes to jail, or is she dead? We don't know.
So this is what's going to happen, Steve. We're going to get a prequel on how she became the Electric Lady. And then we're going to get a sequel on what happened after that truck ride.
Yes. We need to see that. Let's make it happen. Let's use our powers of the, if we put it out in the universe, it's going to fucking happen.
Yeah.
We got to make this happen, yep, man. I would love to see this as a trilogy.
Yep. JT Molnar, if you're listening to this, I know you are. Pay us.
Pin me, pay me. Oh, man. Yeah, I would love to see a trilogy of this, just to see everything that led up to it or everything that's going to happen after, because I'm invested. Yeah. I'm really invested in
this. This has trilogy written all over it. They could do the Maxine's thing just like it.
Yeah,
they basically started in the middle of her, of this character's story.
Yeah, it started really, well, could be the middle depending on what's going to happen after. Because if she dies, then this could be really just the second half of her life. We would love to see the whole build up, how many victims she has to get to the point of being known as the Electric Lady. Like, how many people has she killed? Do we know? We don't know. We just know that in order to be a fucking serial killer and get a name like that, it's got to be three or more.
Yeah, I learned that on Dexter the other day, actually.
Well, three kills?
Three or
and
more.
Then you're, yep, three or more, and you're considered a serial killer. I think at that point, that's when they start nicknaming you, because it's just easier sometimes, because you don't know. You just give them a moniker, and that's who you're looking for the whole time, is this particular person. And that's like any fucking serial killer that hasn't been caught, like Zodiac. No one's given Zodiac a name, because Zodiac's never been found.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly. There's people that say that they have an idea of who it is or whatever. I mean, shit, Jack the Ripper. We don't even know if his name was Jack. Why is his name Jack the Ripper?
Wasn't there someone that came out either last year or the year before that said they were Zodiac Killer's nephew or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I heard about that, but you got to take that with a grain of salt.
He's looking for a Netflix payday.
Exactly. He's looking for a Netflix payday, and there's a lot of people that will do that. There's a lot of people that will say shit just to get their 15 minutes of fame and get on TV. There's no fucking rhyme or reason for it, because if you get called into police, now you're trying to say all this shit. Now you're saying false information, and that's just going to get you in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do that, man. It's fucking weird. It doesn't make any sense. But people want to be in the spotlight so bad that they'll fucking damage their whole life to do so. And that's what that guy sounds like he's doing. But all these serial killers, they get these monikers because they need to have a name to what the fuck is happening. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It just makes sense. You know, to warn people, you throw a fucking name out there like that. Now people are scared shitless. Zodiac, BTK, all these names. They didn't know BTK's name was for a very long time.
That pisses me off, because did you watch Mindhunters?
Oh, don't get me started.
I was going to say, because they teased the BTK thing, and then it's never going to happen now.
Oh, my God, man. It upsets me. It really upsets me that we're not getting one more season of that show. We got cock-blocked.
Yep.
We got so cock-blocked.
Yeah, they have no interest in making another one.
Oh,
it's so stupid. God. Why would you tease BTK and then just fucking end the show?
Man, it was such a popular show. I don't know why Netflix just pulled the plug on it. I heard stories about the director didn't want to make the series anymore, or I guess it was all filmed in like Philadelphia, man. And it was like cold and dreary, and he didn't want to do that shit.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. I mean, I was reading articles, but again, got to take that with a grain of salt, because it's rumor mill shit. We don't really know. But damn, man, I wish they had one more season of Mindhunter, because you had Wayne Williams and like that whole season where they focused on him, and then they give us that fucking cock tease of a BTK season. And I'm like, man, that would have been awesome to see. That show is firing on all cylinders, man.
I don't understand the whole two season thing. Like, they could have done so there, you know, there's been far more than a handful of serial killers that were highlighted in that show.
Oh, absolutely. The whole idea of the show is to develop the serial killer system. That's the beauty of it, because they have to talk to these other serial killers to really develop these profiles.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's what the whole idea of the show is. And man, I would have loved another season, but it happens. It's like some of these shows, they just get canceled after like season two with like a ginormous cliffhanger, or even season three, ginormous cliffhanger. I feel like if you know you're going to get canceled, wrap it up, because you just leave people with too many questions and they get bummed out. The Santa Clarita Diet, season three, ended with a ginormous cliffhanger.
Oh, man, that one.
That hurts one, too, doesn't it?
That was a great show.
Yeah, that was such a fun show. I mean, you have a zombie Drew Barrymore. What's wrong with that? The whole show was hilarious and violent as anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Yeah, Timothy Oliphant, and I can't remember what the son's name is, but he's in everything.
Yeah, he is in everything. Like, he was in The Righteous Gemstones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was awesome. Whole cast was awesome. There wasn't one person I didn't really like that didn't really serve no purpose in that show. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, they were all great.
So, season three, ginormous cliffhanger of Timothy Oliphant getting bit by Drew Barrymore.
Then it ends. Fuck.
Then it ends. No, never again. We don't get to see anything else.
Nope.
The wrestling show.
Heels?
Heels. Heels. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch the second season because I knew it got canceled, and I watched the first one, but no, I'm not caught up.
So, don't watch it because, again, cliffhanger to all cliffhangers of Steve Amell's character getting paralyzed in the ring.
Spoilers. Thanks, Steve.
You're not going to watch it. You love spoilers.
This whole podcast is a fucking spoiler.
Well, now we're talking shows that are fucking ending.
They brought Heels back to... Did you know Heels is on Netflix now?
Yeah, that's where I watched it.
So Stephen Amell was saying that if Heels has high numbers on Netflix, then he thinks they'll greenlight a season three. Netflix will do it.
That would be cool. I mean, it was like front and center when I pulled up Netflix for like a little while. So I don't see why they wouldn't invest in a season three. But yes, it all depends on numbers. But back to the movie. And we have to go back to this because we fucking went off the rails for a little bit talking about
did.
TV.
We did. We're at like an hour already and we haven't even gotten to our final reviews.
Fuck, dude. You're right.
You had a lot of editing to do.
I know. Oh, it's going to take me a fucking hot minute to edit this thing. So I think we should get into it because we already did our end scene, Fade to Black and whatever. Corey, what do you give Strange Darling?
This is an easy 5 out of 5 for me. I love this movie so much. The chemistry between the demon and the electric lady was something I've never seen before in a film. And the misdirection with the lady being the serial killer the whole time is absolutely wild. Willa Fitzgerald and Kyle Gallner did so good playing these two characters. I will admit, though, because we get that warning in the beginning of the movie that the entire film was shot in 35mm.
Yeah.
I still have no idea what 35mm is. It looks exactly the same to me. The score was amazing, and I love the lighting and pacing of the film. That whole chapter thing and out of order just added such a really unique touch to this movie. I'm just mad it took me so long to watch it.
I'm a little disappointed myself as well. I feel like I should have saw this way sooner, but I didn't hear enough about it. I heard like a couple like reviews saying it was like, you know, for like trailers, like X amount on Rotten Tomatoes and all that shit, right? I saw that, but I didn't really dive into the movie after that.
Yeah, I mean, this has been on my watch list because I keep a watch list on Letterboxd and I just haven't got around to it. And then, you know, we were trying to decide on a movie for this week and I was like, hey, let's do this.
And man, I'm glad you recommended this.
Yeah, this ended up being, I didn't think it was going to be in our wheelhouse for the podcast, but I definitely think it is after watching it.
I think so. I mean, serial killers, it makes sense. Serial killers are, they're always in horror movies. Always.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense to have a movie we're reviewing that involves serial killers and lots of people dying. So it makes absolute sense for us to do this. I'm so glad you actually recommended this movie because I loved it. Same with me. Gonna go with a 5 out of 5 on this one. This was a goddamn masterpiece in misdirection. The whole time we're thinking the killer is the man seen at the beginning, but it was really the girl or the electric lady the whole time. She was absolutely psychotic, and I definitely did not see her being the antagonist of the movie, which with the whole chapter layout that we've talked about before that I primarily don't like because I feel like it breaks up the flow, in this case, worked out in its favor. So acting was amazing, especially when she's trying to use the fact that she's a girl to paint a picture that she was sexually assaulted. Score was great. Great tension the whole entire time. Loved the crazy amount of twists and overall, well-directed movie. I mean, it took us a little while to get to it as we were talking about. And from what I was actually seeing, it makes sense this movie got a 95% score on Rotten Tomato by the critics.
Does it actually have that right now?
95%.
Damn, okay.
That's
I don't ever look at Rotten Tomatoes.
For critics, but for audience score, it's an 85%, which is insanely high too. I mean, think about those numbers. That's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
But
especially on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, exactly. But yet, apparently, this movie made only $4 million at the box office. So I almost feel like this is the menu type situation happening all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Why this movie flew massively under the radar is beyond me because more people need to see this movie. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit shiningwizardsnetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30screamsorless.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out beardoctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.